It's Tip Tuesday on the Starters Club podcast, where we talk about the business details that no one else likes to talk about, but everyone needs to know.
This just got exciting.
And now, here's your host, Aaron Smith.
All right, welcome to the Starters Club podcast, where we are going to be doing another Tip Tuesday segment. And this one's going to be really interesting because it's going to be a twist on Facebook groups. So we all know Facebook groups are We all know Facebook groups are a great way to build your business, but I love what Gary Leland's done is he's put really a new twist on it and he's making it madly successful for his business. So Gary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Aaron, you know you're one of my favorites, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you. And you are definitely one of mine. And I've had Gary on my show before. Gary's just the entrepreneur of all entrepreneurs. He's been podcasting forever, since probably the beginning. You can know him.
One of the first 50, probably.
One of the first 50, yes, absolutely. You know him from Fast Pitch TV. He's also runs Pottertainment Magazine, which for any of you listening who are huge podcast fans, I'm sure you've come across that. If you haven't, go check it out. So Gary, thank you. I have mad respect for what you do. So I'm always excited to talk to you and learn how you're doing this. So Facebook groups. Tell us, there's the original Facebook group, and then there's your network of Facebook groups. So tell us a little bit, because you're doing both. So you've got a Facebook group of, you told me it's going to about to hit 20,000 members. Is that right?
Right. That's my conventional Facebook group.
Okay. How are you utilizing? Let's cover that one first, because 20,000, a lot of people would love to get to 20,000. How are you utilizing that to build your business, and why did you make this determination to kind of split them off into two? You know, you have got the one main one and then you've got this other huge network. Tell us a little bit about the strategy behind that.
Well, the main one started because when groups started, I said, hey, I'll start a group. So, I mean, that's how
shocker
it started.
That you did it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I do anything that's new, but it's a basic group. I advertise in there. I make posts. I'm the only one allowed to make posts on things for sale. Well, the rules state you can't sell anything in there. And anyone who posts anything for sale, if it's just a softball guy who didn't know any better, you know, I just remove it. If it's a spammer, then, of course, they're banned. But now at 20,000, I think it's 19-something, it's a lot of people in there to sell stuff to. So I try not to do so many posts in there that I'm spamming them all the time, but they're pretty much familiar with the fact that I am going to put stuff in there every week or every other week for sale. And I sell stuff from there. I sell quite a bit of stuff from there, as a matter of fact.
Do you have a strategy, though, of value sale, or is it all sale?
Everything I post is sale. I don't post in there unless it's a sale, personally. I don't post. I'm not involved with it like you are on your group on a day-to-day basis. My group pretty much is self-run. All I do is prune it, I guess you'd say. Get rid of things that shouldn't be there. Add my content that I want to sell. And then I have three other admins that help me on approving. You know, once you hit a certain size, Aaron, it's funny. Once you hit a certain size, the porn people come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, they find you.
Yeah, but you got to be a certain size or you don't need to worry.
Okay.
From what I can I have enough groups that I pretty much can say that and be an authority on it. Once you break that 15,000 mark, they really come out of the woodworks. You'll get some here and there on your way there, but once you hit that barrier, you know, up till a few months ago, we could approve everybody. I could almost handle it by myself. With my phone. You know, if you're going to run groups, you got to get the Groups app for your iPhone. I mean, that's for sure. You can't do it without that. Every time you see me somewhere, I'm on my phone, and what I'm doing is working my groups. You know, you can approve 5 here, 20 there, 10 there, 50 there. Check the posts. But once you hit a certain mark, they come out the woodwork, so I had to start adding admins. And all they really do is approve people for me. They look on it. First thing they look on, they got to have 25 friends. If they don't have 25 friends, they probably don't have a kid to play softball, because they would just the parents would be 25 people, the other kids.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, they got to have been on Facebook for more than a month. You know, so if they don't have those two things, or it's some country, you know, some where they live at, someplace I never heard of, you know, those people won't get approved. That's the way we check it real quick. Because as you start growing, you can't really sit there and go through all their stuff. You know, you got to go bam, bam, bam. Okay, approved or not. You can't spend people are volunteering to be admins. They're not going to spend 10 minutes on each person, and you're getting a couple hundred a day. You know, they got to be able to fly through that. And that's all my admins do is approve people. And then I look at the post and I delete the stuff because I'm on it all day.
So. Okay. So you're doing a lot of, like, you're kind of, you're policing here and there. Now tell us about the network, because I think this is so intriguing. I hear what you've done and just the effort to me seems so incredible. So I'd love to know, as you're explaining this, kind of the hacks you created in order to be able to do this. So tell us about the network side. So you've got one giant group and now you've got this entire network of groups.
Yeah, the network may be over 100,000 people in it already. I'm not quite sure because it's too hard to count because there's 451 groups in the network. So it's a little hard to count how many people are here, unless you want to go to 451 pages. The only way I can see is go to all 451 pages, open them up, and look at the number. By the time I get to the 450th, it'd be so far off, you know. So
right, you're going to keep adding people to them.
Yeah, you never would be able to count it. But my niche, as we said earlier, is softball, fast pitch softball. And kids play fast pitch softball, and I realized that there was really not a good way for them to find teams and for teams to find players. There's all these things, you know, like there's one in for the Atlanta, Georgia area. There's one for Dallas. All these individual things that are not networked together where, like, if you're a league, in that league, you can find a team. So my network puts players and teams together. And what we have, I'm just going to kind of do a breakdown. It's like a pyramid. The top of the pyramid is a group that you go to. It's the fastpitch.directory is the link to that. And it's the parent page. And on there, all that's really on there is the rules explaining how it works and 50 links to the next level, which are 50 pages, group or 50 groups for the 50 states. So we got the main level, second level is the 50 states. And then the third level is each one of those states has 8 age groups, 6 and under, 8 and under, 10 and under, 12 and under, 14 under, 16 under, 18 under. So if you just do the math right there, that's 451 groups in the network. And players basically can come to the main group and go, oh, let me find my state. They go to the state group that applies to them, and then they find the age group that applies to them. And then they post looking for a catcher, you know, if they're a team. Tryouts are next Tuesday. Or if you're a player, you know, you go, I'm a catcher and I'm looking for a team. I had talked about this on John Lee Dumas's show, Entrepreneur Fire, and some guy called me who was a fishing man guy. He did fishing stuff. And so I helped him put together a group of fishing groups for every type of fish that they catch, I guess, you know, like different parts of the country. He didn't do near as many as I did. So this works for anything. I think my example is to the extreme because there are so many groups that would apply to mine, but there's so many things you could do this for. You know, if you were a group about books, you could have subsections for science fiction books, training books, you know, different books. You know, there's a lot of things this would apply to, and then you're running the one group that does it all.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, my wheels are turning as you're saying this too, because when I first heard you talk about it, I'm like, that's too much for me. But now my wheels are turning, so you got me intrigued here. How did you go by hand and create 450 groups, or was there a way you were able to
hack
this?
No, you have to do that by hand, and I just paid somebody $8.50 an hour to do that. You know, I gave them the information, because the groups are all the same, the information, except that it'll say, for instance, in mine, if we're talking about Georgia, you know, the information as far as the rules and everything that you're posting in there is all the same, except it says this group is for Georgia 6 and under kids. They just have to change that one line, and all the rest of the information is the same. The next group, this group is for Georgia 8 and under kids, and all the rest of the information is the same. So, I mean, they could whip through making them. But I did pay someone to do that part. And a tip, if you do pay someone to do that part, you know, I paid them to do that part and then add me and my fake identity, which, by the way, everybody should have a fake identity that you use.
Why do you use that?
Well, if number one, if I have someone working on my stuff, I don't have them listed and control my stuff at all. I control it. For instance, do you know Travis that comes to our podcast events?
Yep.
Travis works for me. And one of his duties is to go on Facebook all the time. Well, Travis goes on Facebook as my identity, my other identity. It's not Travis on there. It's my other identity. So tons of stuff everywhere is my other identity. Now, if Travis leaves someday, I don't have to go everywhere to 450 websites removing Travis. All I have to do is change the password for the fake identity.
Okay.
And then so you can have someone work on your stuff and not have to be going add them, remove them. Or let's say if Facebook gets mad at you someday and kicks you off. You know, who? I don't know that could happen, but you don't control Facebook. You know, let's say there's a misunderstanding and they throw you off. You still have access to all the work you've built. I think that's the number one thing you have to do is have an alias.
No, that's really... Well, it's really interesting you're bringing this up, too, because my friend Tamsin Horton's going to... We're going to do a podcast about this, about Facebook groups and people with co-admins, like... Or like if you had an employee come in, they could actually kick you out of the group if they're an admin.
Oh, yeah, they could. And that's what's so hesitant about.
And you're screwed, yeah.
It is. And that's not the way on pages, but it is on groups. And it's really frightening to, you have to be really careful who you have working for you on your groups. You know, so I have admins on my main group, but all my other groups, they're also small in size that I can handle all those myself. There'll get to be a point in time when I can't, and I'll have to add admins, and that will be something that I have to be very careful on. I mean, my admins, I build relationships with people on my main softball group, and that's where I get my admins, you know, is from that main group.
So how did you go about – okay, so you built 450. Now, obviously, you've got Fast Pitch TV.
451.
Okay, sorry. But obviously, you have Fast Pitch TV, which you – I mean, you're very well known in this niche. Is that where you started, or did you do this massive campaign to try to get people really filling in these groups?
I tried to get it filling in these groups. You know, I just – matter of fact, I just started the marketing to the groups. I've let them pretty much, and once again, these are all self-run groups that they put their own content in there. I'm not in these groups. I'm not in any of my groups making posts. I don't go in my groups and make posts and try to keep it active like you have to. You know, you really have to work your group.
Right.
And you have to put stuff in there because people are following you. People are not following me in my groups. They're in my groups because they like the group, not because of me. But because I am the guy who runs the group, they get to know me. But they didn't come because of me. And they aren't staying because of me. They're staying because of in my regular group, the interaction of everybody else in the group. And in the super group, I'll call it, they're there because of the utility of it. It's something that they need. Once they find it, they go, man, this is great.
So then how are you – so is it just your the people who are helping you, is that how you're monitoring everything and making sure the porn's staying off, the posts, you know, nobody's selling? Because I'm sure you have the same rules in
that. No, I do that.
You do that? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm at a desk all day at my office. So every 10 or 15 minutes, I just go through and there's maybe 30 notifications, you know, every 10 minutes that something's happened. And I can wham through those in 2 or 3 minutes. And then the rest of the time, that's why I said you have to have the groups app. You really can't do it if you don't have the groups app. I mean, that's a must if you're going to work groups. Not the Facebook regular app, the groups app. That is a must. That came out right when I started, and that was a lifesaver. That really helps.
Okay, I need to download that again. So you're just saying, I want to know your strategy behind this. So you've got all of these groups. Obviously, you're a huge resource for people. Obviously, I'm sure there's Fast Pitch TV somewhere on there. Plus, you sell a lot of softball equipment in other places. You're doing a lot of work because even just having to jump on Facebook every 10 to, you know, every 15, even once every hour is a lot of work. What's your strategy on using even all these inner groups to correlate it to your business?
Well, all the header images are a big ad for me. You know, it'll say, welcome to the Georgia 6 and under group in the header. But then my ads are in the header. And then I have a video on the pinned post where I have the rules, and you know, it says read this first, which you don't see on iPhones, which I hate. But when they do see that, they read the rules, and at the bottom it says, down when they start getting the bottom, as a member of this group, you get a discount code for $30 off softball bats at softballjunk.com. And then I have a video commercial that plays. It's probably 35 seconds, so they can watch the video. So I have a video commercial in there, a discount code, telling them they get a decent discount, and then my ads are in the header image. And that's the pin post. So, I mean, I got quite a bit of people see that.
And then have you, so then, but you said you're going to start doing some like little advertisements here and there, or are you going to completely avoid that in the network groups?
When the network groups start hitting 10,000 people in each age group, then I'll do that. Like the main age group is already at that, so I do put ads in that. In the 20,000 group, I do that already. And in the one first level group that's for the whole country that tells them what state to go to, I put ads in there already because that's at 16,000.
So I'm interested to know why it's the why is it a number for you?
I don't know.
Okay.
There's no rhyme or reason. You know, I just feel that if you pick a number, there's probably enough people in there that they won't be seeing it all the time and considering it spam. I have no idea.
Okay. I didn't know if there was a strategy behind
nope.
that we
nope.
absolutely had
That's just
had to
a
know.
Number I picked. It may end up being 5,000. Who knows?
Okay. So have you seen like boosts to sales, boosts to your website, people using these coupon codes? Do you track each group separately so you know which group is really bringing in more money? Are you, I mean,
no,
are you-
I don't do that at the moment. I have to admit I should have, but I don't. But we are building a new, we're rebuilding our websites. As you know, we have like 25 websites.
Yeah.
And they were all built before there was such a thing as an iPhone. So they weren't mobile friendly. And for the last 4 months, we've been doing nothing but building, rebuilding the websites so we can put in better codes and be more picky on what we want to do with them and give. Our old website had one code. We could put it in a code and that's all we could do. And no matter what website they went to or where they came from, it took one code where now our new websites, you know, we can put in as many codes as we want to. So now we'll be able to track that. So no, up till now, I have not. I just know I have a lot of people using my codes.
Okay. I was going to say, have you seen a boost in
sales
since doing
this? I've been using codes for quite a while. So I do a lot of codes. So, I mean, I've been using this code for a long time. So it's not like I went from 10 sales to 20. You know, we have hundreds and hundreds of sales every month that use the code. So it's kind of hard to tell as whether it's the time of year or if there's more codes.
Yeah.
So I have no real data, strong data for anyone on that. But I will. I will. Now, if we were to talk next year this time, I would.
Okay.
Because you know, we're doing the new sites are coming online.
No, it's so interesting. So any other tips or tricks that you feel to really make this work? Because I think it's intriguing. I'm like I said, my wheels are turning on this.
Well, like I said, I think you need to control the people that help you by having your own aliases that they have to log in under. You know,
I think that one's a big one.
Yeah, that's a good tip. And then you have to have the phone app, the groups app. Those are the two main. You can't do it without the phone app. It's just too hard to control to me.
Yeah.
At least when you have as many as I do. If you had 10, I mean, there'd be nothing to it. It wouldn't matter.
Okay. It's very, very interesting. Yeah, I would say my advice would be to track, too. I think it's really – because you don't want to be, like, spending all this time for – but obviously I would think you have to have sales coming in from these. Especially, like, the new kids coming in, you know, parents getting into softball, and they're like, oh, look at this great place. I can buy all my equipment, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing about the niche I'm in is that you only have a customer for so long that you're constantly rebuilding. Because they get out of high school and they aren't buying softball equipment, even if they play their whole life.
Right,
you
exactly.
For some niches, you can keep a guy forever, I guess.
So are you doing anything to try to like go specifically for that, you know, those first couple younger groups? Or are you
going
by word of mouth?
We go after the parents and coaches. We don't go after kids.
Well, no, that sounds horrible that I say that. But no, but you know what I mean? Like, are you, any tracking, like, but obviously I guess you're going for the, you know, 8-year-old coaches
you've
and
seen,
stuff like that.
You've seen my sessions.
Right.
And you know that I don't track anything.
No, I know. And it's
and
like, kills
all
me.
I track is the amount of money that I'm making.
I know. It cracks me
up. Which I'm making
up.
More than I ever have right now. So
that just cracks me up, because I just did a whole presentation about, like, if you can track. But the thing is, I bet you if you tracked, you'd be even making more money.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to start tracking. Actually, you know Joe Youngblood?
Yes.
He's setting up a Google Analytics on all my new sites, and because I don't have time to mess with it.
Right.
Because I'm on Facebook all the time.
Well, and you've got 25. It's not like you have two websites to do. 25 is a beast.
So Joe is setting up analytics on all of them. So we are, as these new sites come out, we are going to be tracking. But in the past, I've just been kind of a, you know, just old Joe. I just hooked up my websites. If I was making any money and people were ordering, I was happy. But you're right. It would be much better if I knew where the stuff was coming from.
That's so hilarious. Well, I think it's a very interesting twist. Like I said, I was like, you're so niched. I don't know if I could do this, but I definitely see a point to it. So my wheels are turning. So thank you for sharing this insight. Yeah,
it's not for everybody.
Right. No, it's not. But there's definitely potential to it.
Yeah, there are potential. And not everybody's going to not everyone could have as many. I guess if someone did baseball, they could do as many as I do, you know. Or maybe basketball, a sport, they probably could. But besides that, there aren't a lot of them but, that I can think of. But who knows what's out there.
Well, in the sports now, too. I mean, my God. Like, I feel guilty for not getting my three-year-old into sports yet, but I'm waiting. So
hold off as long as you can.
Yeah, I could go. But that could be a whole other podcast.
Get into it heavy. It's the rest of your life.
Well, and I don't want to kill him, you know, burn him out from it, because it doesn't matter anyway at this age. So
yeah, I held mine off as long as I could. And they still were, you know, all world teams. When they came on the team, they were the worst players on the team. And they still made all world teams at 14. So, you know, it's just a matter of working with them to catch up rather than, you know, having them there.
Yeah. All right, good. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. All right. Well, Gary, if somebody wanted to find out more, find your groups, find out anything, where could they go?
You know, the easiest place is we just redid our sportsjunk.com, sportsjunk.com. That shows everything I do. It shows all my websites, all my blogs, all my podcasts, all my books. If I do it, it should be on there, unless I just missed it because I do so much. We found the blog the other day. I forgot we had going. You know I have the largest wallpaper store in Texas, right?
I knew you had a wallpaper store. I didn't know it was the largest in Texas.
Yeah, so we had a blog that one of the people that work in the wallpaper store was taking care of. I didn't even know we had it. So yeah, I found that the other day.
That's hilarious. Well, Gary, thank you so much. Always so interesting. I think you're the hardest working person I know.
I'm not. I just do things that are fun. I like working.
Yeah, so. No, but you work a lot. I mean, even though it's fun, you're still killing it. Like, you never stop, which
is
admirable.
Aaron, the problem is there's so many people who don't work because they go, oh, I got to sit on the couch and I got to unwind. Or I won't make enough doing that. It's not worth my time. And I tell people all the time, when you're sitting there watching TV, your time's not worth jack squat. You're giving it away. So why not have your laptop in your lap and be working on stuff? You can watch TV and work on stuff at the same time. It's not brain rocket science. Yeah.
No, I'm of the same mindset. I always share the story because I grew up on I grew up on a farm. We didn't stop at like 5 o'clock. So I am hardwired. I don't know what it means to stop at 5 o'clock. I don't know what it means unless you're sleeping, you're working. That's how, you know, and obviously I have to shut off for kids, but it is a different wire. And I'm with you. If I'm going to be sitting, I don't want to sit in front of a TV because I'm not being productive. I'd rather be spending my time doing something productive. So I'm with you. I understand it completely.
Yeah, it's just a matter of doing stuff all the time. And if you like what you do, it's not work.
Exactly.
I wish they had computers when I was in school, but, you know, they didn't even have punch card ones when I went to high school.
We've come a long way.
Yeah, they used to say everybody would have a computer in their house someday when I was a kid. They didn't say they'd have them in their hands.
Right, or 20 in their house at any given moment. Well, Gary, thank you so much. I very much appreciate it. Like I said, I think it's a really interesting topic, and hopefully someone's listening.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to message me or ask me any questions, I don't mind being helpful at all. But don't email me, because I hate email. I try to be email-free. My Facebook page is Facebook, is Gary Leland. And you can private message me, and I'll talk to you all day, but I probably won't even look at my email, so don't send me email. But if you have a question, if you Facebook me, I'll respond right away.
All right. Well, good to know. And we'll put all that information on our notes page, too. So, Gary, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to Tip Tuesday on the Starters Club podcast, where we talk about the business details that no one else likes to talk about, but everyone needs to know. See you next time on the Starters Club podcast.